All right, before I begin my sermon this morning, I want you to think about three images. I want to give you three images, three pictures that I want you to imagine before we start to go through the message this morning. I want you to think about a lighthouse, a flashlight, or a torch, as we called it in Africa, and a spotlight that is on a theater or on a stage to highlight a certain event or an actor. Can you get those images in your mind? A lighthouse on a stony peninsula out into the ocean. A flashlight that you use, a torch you use to guide your, find your way around. And then a spotlight, as if this was darkened and there was a light shining down here where the person, drawing attention to the person who would be speaking. When we picture or think of a lighthouse, many of us will see that building on a real rocky point out in the ocean with a light going around, a beacon rotating and shining out over the water of the shoreline. Some of us have visited lighthouses. We've gone up in them. We've seen how they work. We know how they help save lives by warning ships of dangerous, shallow, and rocky shorelines. Lighthouses are primarily known for guiding ships away from dangerous coastlines. For sailors, a lighthouse represents a path back to safety and home. Many of us remember reading or know about the history of Lake Superior and the sinking or the downing of the Fitzgerald, a large tanker ship, cargo ship, that went down with all of its crew. There is a lighthouse in Minnesota that every year has a memorial. They'll light a beam and they'll have a celebration there in memory of all those sailors that went down, the crew that went down with the Fitzgerald. Now, the Fitzgerald broke apart and went down the middle of Lake Superior, or close to the middle, and of course there was no need of a lighthouse. But the lighthouse was there to normally warn ships of dangerous waters. One man tells a story about a storm coming on them while they were sailing. The skies darkened and the waves tossed the boat about, so they lost their sense of direction. Because of the darkness of the skies, the clouds, the rain, he was not able to see the shore. But he knew that at the shore, there at the shore, not back where he took the boat out at the dock, but at the shore there was a sandy area that if he could get there, he would save his life. But he couldn't see the shoreline. He didn't have any idea how to get there. As the thunder rolled, as you can imagine, a thunderstorm, the lightning flashing, the dark clouds, the water rolling, he looked off in the distance and he saw this beacon of light, and it was circling around. And every time it'd come around, it would shine through the fog, through the darkness, and he could see where it's at. And he remembered where that sandy shore was, just on the other side of the lighthouse. And because of the light coming from that lighthouse, he was able to head towards that light, find the sandy shore off to the side, and he docked his boat. He landed, saving him and the people that were on the ship. That's what a lighthouse does. Warns about dangerous waters. It gives guidance to safety. There's an old song by the Hensons, gospel singing group, that talks about the lighthouse. How many remember hearing that? The lighthouse. There's a lighthouse on a hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed about, it sends out a light that I might see. The light that shines in darkness now will safely lead me home. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would sail no more. So you get a picture of a lighthouse and the purpose of a lighthouse, what a lighthouse does. The next image I want you to think about is a flashlight. Everyone has a flashlight. Most of us have a flashlight right here in our little phone, if I can find it here. I think some of you have that. Huh? That helps get us around sometimes when we're lost. As a growing up, I had a flashlight with 3 big D-cell batteries in it. That was a pretty strong, we call them torches. So most of us are familiar with a flashlight. I have a friend. If you were to describe a flashlight, what would you say? What is a flashlight? I have a friend who defines a flashlight as a dispeller of darkness. And I kind of like that, because isn't that what it does? It opens up darkness and provides a path. It pushes darkness away, revealing a safe direction for us. It reveals the ground where we're walking so we don't stumble, so that we don't make a mistake. One couple tells about a meeting they went to out in the country. It was in an Amish area, and they were at an Amish meeting house or something that was owned by the Amish, so there was no electricity. And if you've ever visited Amish villages or areas or houses, they have no electricity. If you've ever been out on a dark night, have you ever been in a place that is so dark you cannot see the hand in front of your face? I can remember a night in Africa when we were in the forest, and standing out there were no stars. That night the clouds had covered the stars, no moon. And I literally tried to hold my hand up in front of my face. It was so dark, I could barely see my hand. And you've probably been there, been in that darkness, and recognized the value of a flashlight. And this couple at this Amish meeting, or this place where they met, had been there, had been to the meeting, and when they stepped out, it was pitch dark. They knew their car was somewhere where they had driven in. They knew their car was out there, but they couldn't see it. They couldn't see the pathway. It was just that dark when they walked out. And as they're standing there trying to contemplate which direction to go or what to do, not knowing exactly what the ground was going to be like, someone walked up to them and said, "Would you help me? Would you like for me to help you find your car?" And they said, "Sure." And he pulled out a flashlight and he turned it on, and it opened up the pathway so that they could walk down through the parking lot, over the stones, miss the holes, not step off on a log or a rock or a snake. I was always told as a young boy, take a flashlight out with you at night, not just show you where you're going, but to show you where the snakes are at. Of course, you don't have problems with snakes up here, probably. But anyway, it helped open up the way, and they eventually found their car. I want you to picture walking through a dense forest at night. No moon, not sure where the path is at, nothing visible beyond a few feet. And then you switch on your flashlight, or you pull out your phone and turn on your light. And suddenly each step becomes more intentional. You know, there's a rock there, there's a hole there, there's an indentation there, and you find a way to get to your destination. A flashlight would provide the necessary lighting for finding paths, avoiding obstacles, and ensuring your safety. That's what a flashlight does. It dispels darkness so you can see where you're going. A lighthouse, the light, the beacon, rotating, warns people of danger. The flashlight would open up a pathway so you can see where you're going. You know what's happening. And then finally, I want you to think about a spotlight. You ever been to a play where the stage is darkened? You can't see nothing, and then suddenly a light in the center of the stage comes on, and there's this beautiful young lady in a flowing gown ready to sing, or a young man standing up there, and the light illuminates him, and he begins to say his part. All attention is on the stage and the whole area of the front of the building until the spotlight comes on. And then once the spotlight comes on, where's all of our attention? All of our attention goes to that person that is lit by the spotlight. That person becomes the center of our attention. Everyone is focused on that person. That spotlight distinguishes between the area that is lit and the darkness around it. It gives attention, it focuses, it makes us aware of that one person. It's like saying, Audience, pay attention right here. This is the person we want you to listen to. This is the person we want you to notice. Now, with these images or pictures in mind, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 12, chapter 13, verses 46 and 47. In Acts chapter 13, verses 46 through 47, the Apostle Paul is at a small town called Pisidian in Antioch. This is his first missionary journey. If you remember, he had gathered with a group of disciples and they were praying, and the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, Paul, for the work that I've called them to." And they left from that church, and they went out, and they began to teach and preach and talk about Jesus. But they always went to the synagogues. That's where they went. They went to the Jewish synagogues. And on this day, they're in a synagogue. Now, I don't understand the building of a synagogue. I don't know how they were built back then. But evidently, there were people outside who could hear what Paul was saying, as well as inside. Because if you read the previous verses in chapter 13, you'll find out that Paul begins to talk about Abraham and how God called him out and how God told him he was going to make him a blessing. And then he went down through the saints of the time, Jacob and Isaac. And then he went to David, and he talked about David and what the promise was to David. And then he came down to Jesus. And he said in Nazareth, he told about his birth, a virgin. A young woman who had never been with a man was told one day, was approached by an angel and says, "You're going to have a child." Paul tells a story about Jesus being born and about how he grew. And then one day people came against him and he went to a cross. They took him and they tried him. And even the Roman government says, I find no fault with this man. But they insisted on him being crucified. And Jesus was led to the cross. And the word says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. You know what the joy was? It's that song that Vanna was talking about. The joy was Dennis Tanner. The joy was Lisa Tanner. The joy was Sabella Tanner. The joy was all of you, not just the Tanners, but for everyone. He saw you. And I'm going to the cross for you. I'm going to the cross because one day, he'll be there. She'll be there. One day they will be with me for eternity. That's my joy. That's why I can give my life. And God was so pleased. The Father saw his sacrifice. He had never sinned. He had never done wrong. He had never made a mistake. And God saw that sacrifice. And he says, "My beloved Son, because of your obedience, your faithfulness," he raised him from the dead. And that was his approval, that his life would pay the penalty for my sins. So Paul told that story. And the Jews and even some of the Gentiles outside got so excited. They heard this message, and it was told with such conviction and such power that when Paul and Barnabas walked out of the synagogue, there were Gentiles. Again, I don't know the building, but somehow the Gentiles, because Gentiles couldn't come in the synagogue. See, it was separate. The Jews were in the synagogue. The Gentiles were outside. But somehow the Gentiles had heard that message. And as Paul and Barnabas went outside, people gathered around and said, "Hey, we want to hear this message again. Can you come back next Sabbath, next Saturday? Can you come back and tell us again?" Paul said, "Sure, we'll be back." So they come back the next week. But there was a problem. The Jews had filled up the synagogue. Jews from all over had come. The building was jam-packed. Not only was the building jam-packed, but people from all over the city, the Gentiles, were surrounding the building. There were all kinds of crowds there. And the Jewish leaders looked at it and said, something's wrong here. Nobody ever comes out to hear us. Say, we can't have these guys here. And they kicked them out. They asked them to leave and not come back. And that brings us to Acts chapter 13, verse 46. "And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly to them," after they told him that, It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you. God sent the word to the Jews first. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, now we go to the Gentiles. Now I want you to understand what the Gentiles were. There were only two people in the world as far as the Jewish people were concerned. There were Jews and there were Gentiles. Didn't matter your skin color. Didn't matter your language. If you were a Jew, you were a Jew. But if you weren't a Jew, then you were a Gentile. So the Gentiles composed the rest of the world. So when Paul says, since you as a Jew are no longer interested in the gospel, since you do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. Now listen to verse 47. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. This was a prophecy by Isaiah to the nation of Israel. And in Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 47, in Isaiah, God anointed the prophet to speak to Israel and tell them that he had made them a light unto the nations. Because Israel had rejected that and rejected Jesus as their Messiah, Paul now says this prophecy is no longer directed at the Jews. It is now directed to me. I take this prophecy as a prophecy for me, that from now on, I am to be a light to the Gentiles. Now, the challenge that we have there is, as a believer, Paul is not just acknowledging that that prophecy applies to him. He's acknowledging that that prophecy applies to us, that we are to be a light to the world. As a believer, we are to be a light to the world. Matthew, go over to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Jesus spoke these words. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. He's speaking to those who believe in him, his disciples. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. They put it on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And then again, in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of the life. You see, Paul takes that prophecy and applies it to himself. Jesus speaks to his disciples and say that we are to be the light, you are to be the light. When I read those passages, I understand that the Word of God is telling me that I am to be a light unto the world. I am to be a light. But before I can be that light, I have to have light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will be in light. You see, to have that light and to be in that light, we have to have Jesus Christ living in our heart. We have to acknowledge that we have sinned. I've made mistakes, God. We have to ask God, repent, be sorry for our sins. Acknowledge that they are wrong. When I look back on my life and when I was studying with Tom, and I prayed with him the other day. Tom knows what God has done in my life. But I also, as we sat there together, we remembered what our life was like. The alcohol. The things that happened in our life. The rebellion. He lost his family. It was because of darkness. And I made the decision one day to tell God I was sorry. I'm sorry for everything. I'm sorry for that. I want you to forgive me, God. And I accept. I put my faith in Jesus. Not what I can do, because believe me, ask my wife, she will tell you I still make mistakes. I still have error. In fact, as we planned a little game the other day, and one of the questions asked about it, who is convinced that they are always right, you know, even though they're wrong? You know who got the most votes? In my own family! Still make mistakes. But the beauty of the Christian life, now listen to me, the beauty of the Christian life is that God does not look at me as me, because I am clothed. Jesus Christ has wrapped himself around me. And when God looks at me, all he sees is Jesus. He doesn't see my sins. In fact, is we were talking someplace, I forget who we were talking to this week, and talk about something that happened, you know, a long time ago and different things. And someone made the statement, says, isn't this interesting? We're talking about all these things, and God's looking down on them, and he said, what are they talking about? And of course, God doesn't remember. It says, when we are forgiven, God removes our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. He takes us out of the darkness of this world. And believe me, you know, this world is dark today. You see the drugs. You see the immorality. You see the disrespect of life. Tom told me that he stood up one day while he was ill, and when he fell, evidently he has some kind of bone disease. He broke his hip, and evidently he broke it badly. And he said he laid there for about 6 hours before anybody came to him. And he'd wake up so many times in pain, not knowing what to do, can't get anybody, can't reach his phone. He said, Dennis, the one thing I could reach was my pistol, my gun. And says, I reached out for that gun 2 or 3 times to finish it. See, there's so much darkness. There's so much hopelessness in this world. People turn to drugs. They turn to alcohol. They isolate themselves. They turn to, they'll turn to video games. They'll turn to TV. They'll just isolate themselves. And someone said that they just drank all day just to get themselves in a stupor, to get out of it. You know people like that. You know what your life was like, how you've been hurt and hopeless. Jesus has come to bring us out of that hopelessness. And once he does, once he gives you that new life, once he restores your hope, once he turns your focus from this world to what he has for you, once you begin to think about what heaven's going to be like, what it's going to be like to be there with Jesus, to have no more pain, no more suffering, no more hurt. It's going to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's what God has done for us. He has given us that through Jesus. And once we accept that, once we acknowledge Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, once I become clothed in Jesus, then in the words of Paul, he wants us to be a light to others. He wants us to be a light to others so that others can find Jesus through our life. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and as Pentecostals, as people who believe in a Spirit-filled life, we know that verse almost by heart. The fact that Jesus said before he was resurrected, before he left this earth to be with the Father forever and ever, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. Do you know what witness means? For a long time, I thought witness meant talking. It just meant talking. Telling people about Jesus. Do you know Jesus? If you should die tonight, where would you spend eternity? Do you know? Speaking it. Witnessing means much more than that. Witnessing means living for Jesus. Witness means living like Jesus. Oh, we miss that so much. That's why we are called to be disciples, to learn how to live like Jesus. Think about it. When somebody cuts you off of the road, would Jesus act, raise his fist, and say bad words at him? If someone takes something from you, someone hurts you, would Jesus want to hurt him back? If somebody invites you to a party where you know there's immorality or wrong things going on, do you think Jesus would go? Jesus might go. The only purpose Jesus would have there would be to be a light. Are you going to be a light or are you going to be a party? Are you going to be there with them to use drugs or are you going to be a light? Are you going to be there to do something else or are you going to be a light? See, Jesus would have been there. I have no doubt about that. Jesus went a lot of places, but he was always a light. What is our life reflecting? What is our life a witness of? Jesus said we would receive power to be a witness. To be a light. Paul says, this day I am a light to the world. The title of my message this morning is Empowered to Be the Light. You and I, through the Holy Spirit, are empowered to be the light. We have the power of God living in us to enable us to be a light to others. To be a lighthouse, if you will. Go back to a lighthouse. What does a lighthouse do? It warns of danger. It warns of the danger of darkness. You know what my life as a lighthouse is? I want to remind people of the danger of darkness. I want to remind them, don't go to that pub over there. Don't go to that bar. I have been there. I've lived that life. There is no hope in that life. There's danger in that life. Don't go there. I tell my children. I tell my grandchildren about who they associate with, their friends. Choosing your friends. Being careful who you spend time with. That they don't influence you, but you become a witness to them of what your life, what God has done in your life. I warn them about, I always tell them, don't stay out after midnight. Because no good things happen after midnight. I know. I've been there. Don't go out in the darkness and try to find your pleasure or your life because nothing good happens under the cover of darkness. See, that's my lighthouse. I'm a lighthouse. Don't speed. Don't disrespect the police. Don't steal. Because I done those things and I ended up in trouble. So I am a lighthouse. Don't go there. That's dangerous. That's what God wants us to be. Now, I don't have to tell my story. I don't have to tell you what I did. I stole. But I don't have to tell you what I stole. I lived wrong. I don't have to tell you how I lived wrong. I just need to warn you, don't go there. If you go there, nothing good is going to happen. That's my lighthouse. I'm a lighthouse. I'm a light warning people where not to go. That's what my light should be. You and I were empowered to be a witness of Jesus Christ, a witness of what Jesus told his disciples, what to do. He said, do this. If someone needs your coat, give him your coat. Somebody slaps you on one side, turn your head and slap it on the other side. Oh, that was a hard lesson for me to learn. And most of the time, they'd slap me on one side, and I'd slap them back, and I'd end up on the floor. And see, I learned, don't go there. That's what a lighthouse does. Jesus wants us to be a light. Think about a flashlight. Jesus wants you to be alive. What's a flashlight used for? It's to find your way. Jesus wants you to be like a flashlight, dispelling darkness. Do you know that darkness and light can exist? Try it. Try it. Go into a dark room and turn on a light. What happens? Does the darkness overcome the light? The light overcomes the darkness. Jesus wants you to be like wants us to be like a flashlight. He wants us to show the way to others. Come, follow me. I know the way. I got the light. The Word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. The Word of God directs us. We have the Word of God. We have been empowered with the Word of God to be a flashlight for others, pointing them in the right direction to find Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's what I'm here to do this morning. That's what I do when I go to Africa, when I go to Scotland, when I go to Malawi, when I go to Argentina. I help people find a way to serve Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're in darkness, if you're struggling in your life with Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, God has given us His Word that will help us. If you will trust Him, if you will believe Him, He will guide you. He will open up a path. He will dispel the darkness so you can walk in a clear route and serve Him. You see, God has empowered us to be a light, to be a light, to show others how to find Jesus Christ. Paul said, this day, because you have refused, I'm going to be a light to the Gentiles. God wants us as a church to be a light to the world. We have influence in this community. How many of you have read about the Brownsville Revival? Happened several years ago in Pensacola, Florida. I don't know about your opinion of some of the events take place, even though I'm not sure of everything that took place there, but I do know one thing. The local press came out with a report one day that for several days now, the jails have been empty. And the police have found nothing to do. The influence of that revival on the community. You see, as a church, we have influence. Darkness cannot exist in light. We are a lighthouse. We are light here in Flushing. And darkness, we dispel darkness. We move darkness away. We have an influence in our community to influence others and how God wants us to live and what God wants us to do. We can be a lighthouse directing other people on how to live. Now, finally, I want you to consider the light, the spotlight. The spotlight. When you look at a stage and the spotlight comes on, it reveals who's on the stage. Like a spotlight, God wants us to be a revelation of who Jesus is. He don't want the light on us. This is not Dennis Tanner. Don't look at Dennis Tanner, okay? Look at Jesus. I'm here to point you to Jesus. I'm here to help you find Jesus. Dennis Tanner can't help you. Either Pastor Dennis Tanner or Missionary Evangelist Dennis Tanner or where's Dennis Tanner the third? We can't help you, but we can point you to the person who can. Look at him. Look, that's where I want to direct your attention. This is the most important person in your life, Jesus. Jesus can help you. Jesus can take care of your heartache. Jesus can take care of your darkness. Jesus can take care of your loneliness. Jesus can bring life into your lifelessness, your hopelessness. Jesus can give you hope. Not Dennis. I don't want to point you. And I tell you why. I want to point you to Jesus because that's what Jesus did for me. I become, again, the lighthouse. Jesus took me out of the danger and he brought me into safety. I become the light, flashlight. Jesus showed me the way. I'm going to show you the way so that you can find Jesus. That's what I do as a missionary. That's what we do as believers. Paul says this day, this prophecy is for us as believers. We are to be a light unto the world. Each one of us are to be a light. I represent you as a missionary. I am a ray of light. You are like the flashlight powering me to go out. You are like the lighthouse giving me the energy to go out. You're like the spotlight that turns on, giving me the power to go out. As a missionary, I am light, but I am a ray of light representing you. And other missionaries that come here, they take the message to the world about Jesus Christ. So my message to you this morning is, I can tell you that you are the light, and maybe you know you are the light. But I want to explain it to you better. You are empowered by Jesus Christ to be the light. He has sent the Holy Spirit to empower you. You don't have to live like other people live. You don't have to go places. I tell my kids, I tell my grandchildren, you don't have to do things. Set your own styles. Be your own person. They laugh at me sometimes, the clothes I wear. They laugh at me sometimes because, if you follow me, eventually, those clothes will all come back. I want you to look at it. Come up here, son. Come up here for just a minute. I want you to look at these trousers here. Look how tight they are around his ankles. You see that? Look at these. I'm still wearing these. They've got some looseness to them. You notice that? Stay with me, son, because eventually these will come back. And eventually they even get bigger. We used to call them bell bottoms. Now here, you know what we used to call those? Huh? Anybody from the 60s? We used to buy jeans and have our mothers hem them up. We call them peg legs. We'd peg them. So we'd have those. We'd have our mother cut it out and seam them up so they'd be tighter. And then we got bell bottoms. You remember bell bottoms? Huh? And now we got trousers with cuffs, and then trousers with no cuffs. And now we got those trousers that hug our ankles and our knees, you know? Set your own style. Be your own person. Be who Jesus called you to be. You don't have to be like someone else. That they let them be friends with you. Let them seek you out. You are to be a light. You are empowered to be the light and to be a representative of who Jesus is, to be a witness of who Jesus is. God sent his Holy Spirit to empower us to be the light. You are light in Flushing. You are light in Flint. A light that warns people of the dangers of sin. A light that will guide people and show them a pathway to find Jesus. A light that will draw attention and focus only on Jesus. You are the lighthouse. You are the flashlight. You are the spotlight. That's what we are. Empowered to be light in the world. Would you stand with me and let me pray for you? Father God, I want to thank you for the privilege and honor for me to be here at New Life Church. I thank you for, God, especially for the support of this church, not just for Vanna and I as missionaries, but for all the missionaries that they support. I thank you, God, for the fellowship that exists here, for the family that is here. I thank you, God, for what you're doing through this church and the community, the feeding program, and how you are providing light. You are making a way for people to see the love of Jesus in the giving of this food. God, may we continue to be a light that shines brightly throughout Flushing, throughout Genesee County, throughout Flint, throughout the state of Michigan. I pray that every person here would be empowered. They would know that you, God, live inside of them through Jesus Christ. That you, God, has sent the Holy Spirit to empower them to walk in lightness and be a light. Help us, God, to go from here knowing that we are a light. And just before I close, with every head bowed and eyes closed, if you're here and you're still struggling in darkness, maybe hopelessness. Maybe there's some things you just feel like you can't get out of. Maybe you've known about Jesus and you know about the love of Jesus, but you just haven't been able to find that right place with him. I want you to know that I'm here. Vanna is here. Pastor Dennis is here. Before you leave, won't you just come up to us and let us pray with you? Won't you find us sometime during the dinner? Or before church is over, before you leave here, just say, hey, would you pray with me? Would you pray that God will help me to find Jesus and find hope to get out of this darkness? Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray that you would forgive me. What I have to do, which is reach out to you, God, Forgive me for my mistakes. Forgive me for the things that I have done that have hurt you. God, I believe that you did send Jesus to this earth because you love me. I believe, God, that you love me so much that you allowed Jesus to die for me. And I believe, God, that if I ask you and I believe on Jesus, then I can have eternal life. I can have hope again. And I know that you'll help me through my struggles to find peace with you. God, I accept your love right now. I accept your love, God. I accept your forgiveness. That's a simple prayer. That's all anyone has to pray. But I will agree with you that your life will change if you're here without Jesus this morning, or if you're walking in darkness and hopelessness. Father, go with us now. Bless us during this time of fellowship. Thank you for what this church has done, for their vision for the world and for missions. And thank you for the time of fellowship and the food we'll have afterwards. In Jesus' name, amen.